VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Best bet number one has cashed as Tyrese Halliburton's got 5 points here in the first quarter. 2 of 3 shooting, 1 of 1 from 3-point range. He also has 4 assists early on here. We got 2 minutes left to go here in this first quarter. Thunder lead 27-22. So we are hoping that the Pacers have a little bit of a run here at the end of the first quarter for our second best bet, which was the Pacers plus 1.5 in the first quarter. But cash the Halliburton over 3.5 points. Now, if you laddered it, let's get some more here for the ladder. And again, the 4 points was minus 150, 5 points minus 105, 6 points plus 150. If he can get another basket here, he's already got 5, 7 points plus 225 odds we talked about. If he hits a 3, 8 points was plus 340. So we still got 2 minutes left here in this first half, the first quarter, I should say. Let's see if Hallie can come through with some of the alternates that we have as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network as we are tracking NBA Finals game number 3 in progress right now in Indy. The Pacers and the Thunder, even at a game apiece, Thunder closed this game as 5.5-point favorites with a total closing at 226.5 here at Circa. Your live line right now with a little over a minute left to go in the first quarter. It is 29-23, Thunder over the Pacers. Your live line is Thunder minus 7.5, so a slight adjustment from the full game. Your total up now to 227.5, so we're trending right around where it was before the game at 226.5. Not going to overreact to the totals because, like I said, in game number 2, we saw a total where early on in the first half, we were down to like 216.5, and it still went over the 228. So the game has a lot of game left to be played here, but right now total is at 227.5. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is finally on the board, and we talked about live betting during the last break when there was 4:50 left to go in the first quarter. Live betting Shai to go over 29.5 points. Well, 2 quick baskets from the MVP. He's got 4 points right now with a minute to go here in this first quarter. Still Chet Holmgren with the 12 points. Your leading scorer in this game. But we got a minute left to go in the first quarter, and we do need, I guess, 5 unanswered from the Pacers if we're going to, in fact, cash our first quarter bet. But hey, the best bet of the night is already in, so we feel good about that. The Tyrese Halliburton first quarter points. Halliburton said he needed to get out to an early start. He said, "I need to be better earlier in games." And, well, you know, 5 points in the first quarter is not a lot, but it goes over 3.5, as that number was pretty low, considering this is a player that at home this year, in the playoffs, averaging 4.25 points per first quarter, and after losses in these playoffs, has come out to score 6 in a big game against the Cavaliers, 15 in a big game against the Knicks. So he has shown that the moment he gets up for the moment, and in this moment, game number 3, first NBA Finals game in Indy, I would have thought, or at least I did think, that he gets up for this moment, which is why we were on his first quarter points to go over. But right now, it is a 31-23 first quarter lead for the Thunder. So, man, much like we saw here in games 1 and 2, Thunder just dominating early. And I took a shot with the Pacers in the first quarter. Obviously, I'm on the Thunder for the game, minus the 5.5. So this start, you know, it's good for the full game bet. But I thought the Pacers would control the game a little bit better than they have here in the first quarter. Once this quarter comes to an end, we're going to look at all of the stats because I want to look at the field goal percentage and whatnot. I can tell you right now, both teams are shooting over 50%. So good numbers, especially good numbers if you have an over. 11 of 20 right now for the Thunder, 10 of 20 for the Indiana Pacers as we got 44 seconds or so left to go here in this first quarter. I just thought the Pacers would be better defensively in this first quarter. I thought they would try and slow it down a little bit, try and gain control of this game, but that's not their style. They play fast, and kudos to the Thunder making shots. 3 of 5 from three-point range. I mentioned 11 of 20 from the field. And really, the big disparity in this game, well, maybe not so much now because the Pacers are at the free throw line shooting, but the Thunder 6 of 6 from the free throw line. Pacers finally getting to the free throw line now, just 2 of 4 from the free throw line. So looks like the Thunder will take a lead at the end of the first quarter, but we'll wait till they resume play, and we'll see what happens here at the end of the first quarter. Then we'll take a look at the second quarter and live betting lines as we progress throughout. Speaking of the MVP, though, Shea, who was at 0 points, he's now at 6 points. And if we look at his live player prop right now, it is 32.5. So if you bet a 29.5 when we talked about it during that stoppage here in the first quarter, well, I got a little CLV here because it's at 32.5 now as he scored a couple of points late here in the first quarter. Look at these refs calling the game tightly right now. More free throws here at the end of this first quarter. Man, looks like maybe they had the first quarter over. They need more points to be scored here in this first quarter. It seems like the past couple of possessions have been all free throws here at the end of this first quarter. First quarter that was flowing, but now has slowed down as both teams shooting free throws in the past couple of possessions here. Let's take a look at what the second quarter line is right now. If we can get a second quarter line. Still 20 seconds left to go here in this first quarter, but we'll get an updated second quarter line. I'm seeing right now, let's see, second quarter. All right, Thunder -0.5, total 56.5 for the second quarter. And again, once we get to a close here, we got 13 seconds left. We'll check out the box score, see where we're looking for some of these team stats here. Right now, 56 points scored in the first quarter. We have a total of 56.5 for the second half. My gut says under, because you know you're going to get some of these, you know, star players are going to get to the bench here in the start of the second quarter. So you got some bench players here, some reserves playing for the first couple of minutes of the second quarter. So my gut tells me under, but the way these teams are shooting and the way that they're getting to the free throw line, that could be an X factor. That could be the difference, how these teams are getting to the free throw line. And we've seen that here. It's like this first quarter just doesn't want to come to an end here. There was like 40 seconds left, like 5 minutes ago. Are we finally at the end of the first quarter? Finally, we are end of the first quarter. 32-24 is the lead for the Thunder. So Thunder win and cover the first quarter. Your live line right now with the Thunder having this 8-point lead. Your live line, Thunder -8.5. Thunder closed as 5.5-point favorites. Thunder -8.5. Your live total is now down to 223.5. Closed at 226.5. Now at 223.5. We had 56 points scored in that first quarter. Thunder 11 of 21 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3-point range. Pacers 10 of 20 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3-point range. Thunder 7 of 8 from the free throw line. Pacers 2 of 4 from the free throw line. So already 12 free throws shot in that first quarter. That's a big number. Something that we didn't necessarily have in the games in Oklahoma City. Game number 2 of this year, game number 2 was 59 free throws. And in game number 1, what do we have? Game number 1, there was, let's see, 45. So 45 total free throw attempts in game number 1. 56, did I say 56? 56, 59 in game number 2. We've already had 12 here in the first quarter of game number 3. I think the refs are calling this a little more tightly than they were as like the games that the games 1 and 2 in Oklahoma City. So, something to keep an eye on moving forward if we're looking at a total here. Obviously, if we like an under, we don't want there to be a lot of free throws. Right now, taking a look at the second quarter, 57.5 is the total. Boy, 56 points scored. The team shooting as hot as they did in that first quarter. I tend to lean towards an under in the second quarter. Again, teams shooting over 50% in that first quarter. is that going to happen here in the second quarter once we get, now we get the bench guys coming in? 11 of 21, 52.4% for the Thunder, 10 of 20, 50% from the Pacers. I'd go under 57.5 for the second quarter. That would be a bet that I would make. Just, again, it's not like a best bet, not a strong, it's like a strong lean. It's a bet. Because, again, both these teams shooting over 50% or over 50% from the field, I tend to think that that's going to cool off as we go into the second quarter. Taking a look at your prop bets right now, Tyrese Haliburton goes over the scoring there in the first quarter. Cash our best bet of the game. He had 5 points on 2 of 3 shooting in that first quarter. Pascal Siakam led the Pacers with 7 points. Obi Toppin off the bench with 6 points. Miles Turner had 3. Andrew Nembhard just a free throw. And 2 points from Ben Shepherd. For the Thunder, 13 points for Chet Holmgren on 4 of 5 shooting. 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Jalen Williams with 4 points. Shea with 6 points. 2 of 6 from the field. 2 free throws. 9 points for Lu Dort. 3 of 3 from 3-point range for Lu Dort. My goodness. Isaiah Hartenstein did play 4 minutes. Got 1 rebound. We need more rebounds from you, Hartenstein. He should play more minutes here in this second quarter. Well, the NBA Finals are here. Stanley Cup Final heating up. Game four, coming up tomorrow. Our partner at ProfitX offering the best odds all playoff long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. You're going to be able to make your picks against other groups of fans rather than sports books. An exchange guarantee the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Let's get into the U.S. Open coming up next. This is VSIN Primetime.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Scott Satterberg back here on VSIN Primetime, here on the sports betting network. We're going to monitor all the action going on second quarter here between the Pacers and the Thunder. 10 minutes to go in the first half. It is a 34-30 lead now for the Thunder. Your live line down to Thunder -6.5, live total 224.5. Also, keeping an eye on the Major League Baseball scoreboard. Yankees still with that 5-0 lead over the Royals, looking to add more as they have the bases loaded in the top of the fifth inning. The Mets with a 5-0 lead over the Nationals, a quick-moving game. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning right now. Mets with that 5-0 lead. Top of the eighth, Red Sox a 4-3 lead over the Rays, but the Rays are threatening with bases loaded there in the top of the eighth. Twins with a 3-2 lead over the Rangers. Bottom of the fifth, they have 2 runners on. And the Astros have opened up a 6-0 lead over the White Sox. And looking for more here in the bottom of the fourth inning as they have a runner on. Giants a 2-0 lead over the Rockies going to the top of the third inning. Tomorrow, the U.S. Open tees off our national championship when it comes to golf. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line to talk more about the U.S. Open is Christopher Powers from Golf Digest. Chris, thanks so much for joining us here on VSiN Primetime. Talk to me first before we get into the field and the players and the odds. Talk to me about this course at Oakmont, because everything that I'm hearing and reading and watching has been about how terrible the roughs are, how, you know, how unforgiving this course is. So talk to me about what the players can expect here at Oakmont.
I'd love to tell you it's all overblown, but I think it's as advertised. All the content, the preview content you've seen this week, I actually spoke to a number of players today kind of on this topic. I was trying to kind of pick their brain on, is there anything you have positive to say about this course, anything to be optimistic about? And while a number of guys said, yes, you know, if you execute, you'll be rewarded here, they all did say that doesn't mean this course is going to be easy. It's still going to be very difficult. You have to hit the fairway. The rough is, again, as advertised, I'm sure you've seen on social media. And the greens here are pretty crazy, undulating. They're huge there. They're going to be crispy. They're running 14 on the stim meter, I believe. And it's going to be hot Thursday and Friday, so they'll only get crispier. We might get a little rain Saturday, but I don't think a ton to soften up the course enough. So I think what you're hearing about, maybe an even par winner, maybe an over par winner, is not overblown. I think this is going to be a proper U.S. Open test, kind of like it used to be.
Yeah, and we do love that. We want it to be as challenging as possible. But when I saw that Rory shot like an 81 during his practice round, and he was like, I played great. You know?
Yeah. Birdied the last two holes, he said. He said he birdied the last two holes.
I'm like, oh, my goodness, what are we in for? All right, so we mentioned how the course is going to be challenging. So what style now does it benefit? Like, obviously, you want to hit fairways. So we're looking at guys that have good, you know, driving accuracy, the Colin Morikawas of the world. But what about for the long hitters? Is this course good for the bombers off the tee?
I think absolutely. I mean, you look at the last nine U.S. Opens, just kind of the way the sport is going, distance is going to always prevail. It's always going to have a chance no matter the week on the PGA Tour, but especially at this event, the last 9 years, it's been, I mean, look at the names, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, he won here and he was the longest driver that week back in 2016. Obviously, Bryson has won two of these. 2020, he was clearly the longest player in the world, still might be the longest player in the world. So it's still a huge factor. Having said that, Bryson said himself, this is not quite like Wingfoot in 2020, where he, by being the longest player, the fairways were super narrow, could just kind of bomb it as long as possible, wedge it on. You can't quite do that here. You still have to be a little accurate. And if you look at the two final leaderboards from 2016 and 2017, there's some short knockers on there, some accurate guys. Jim Furyk was in the top 10 in both of those U.S. Opens, 2016 and 2017. Scott Piercy was up there, an unbelievably good and accurate iron player. So I think short and straight will certainly have a chance this week. I'm still leaning with the longer hitters because you're going to want to be down. If you're going to miss the fairway, you're going to want to be closer to the green with a shorter club in your hand out of the rough. So we can get into it, but I do still like Bryson DeChambeau quite a bit this week.
Yeah, Bryson's. I have three players that I bet outrights, and Bryson is my favorite bet to be outright right now. Plus 750 on DraftKings. Obviously, shop around, might be able to find some better numbers here. And I did go further down the board for a couple other guys, but I'm on Bryson. I think the better bet, you know, yeah, I like him to be outright. If you want to be safer, top 10, top five, I'll lay the juice and I'll take the plus money on the top 10, top five. I think if Bryson doesn't win, Chris, I think that there's just he's too good of a player. This course is too good for him not to be in the running there come Sunday. So a top 10 or top five, I think, is a great bet for Bryson.
Absolutely. He, in the last nine majors he's played, he has finished T6 or better six times. I think it's just, I mean, he's 31 years old. It's crazy. We think of him as a kid still. He's been out here for a long time. He played in that 2016 U.S. Open. I believe that was his pro debut at Oakmont. So he's been around for quite a while. But, you know, now in his early 30s, this is kind of that major championship prime for players like him. You know, your late 20s, your early 30s. And he's clearly in that. He's obviously picked off two of them. But he's going to be there. He's going to be in contention. I would be stunned if he's not in one of the final three or four groups on Sunday. He'll give himself a chance. But you know who else is going to be there. We can talk about that elephant in the room as well.
Yeah, listen, Scottie Scheffler's the greatest. We know that, right, Chris? Like, there's no doubt. Yep. The dude, he's got three wins. He had the same amount of wins in the month of May as the Colorado Rockies, all right? So that is a true stat that was out there. But at plus 275, I'm seeing some of these odds. Like, it's a golf tournament. It's like no one should be – like, these are historic numbers. I just – as great as he is, as much as, like, yeah, of course he's going to be in contention, I can't bet on Scottie Scheffler to win. These numbers, to me, are just way too short for the sport that we know that has this much variance.
100% could not agree with you more. And especially that argument you just made, the variance argument – is like quadruply true at a U.S. Open where Scotty's a guy who misses small. We saw this at Quail Hollow on Sunday where he was kind of getting a little squirrely off the tee with the driver, but he doesn't blow it off the planet. He misses like just off the fairway. Maybe he gets behind a tree every now and then and he can get it back into play and still save his par. And a lot of times he still gives himself a pretty good look at birdie. This week, even if you miss small, you are going to be in a world of pain just off of these fairways. Now, Scotty's so good, maybe he has an incredible driving week and he's super accurate and he wins by five. But, you know, there's going to be a couple times where he does miss the fairway this week and he's just going to have to hack it out like everybody else. So kind of evens the playing field a little bit. So to your point, I don't know how you could bet on a guy at 2-1, even Tiger in his prime. That's a crazy number. This is the John Deere Classic. Okay, you could sell me on a 2-1 Scottie Scheffler, but this is Oakmont. You know, Thursday morning, if he has a bad hole and makes a triple, you know, you could argue the tournament's over for him. So I don't know how you could live with that, a 2-1 ticket on, you know, you're one bad hole away from kind of undoing your entire week this week, even as good as Scottie Scheffler is.
Christopher Price from Golf Digest joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime. All right, Chris, give me some other outright winners that you like here at this course that we tee off here tomorrow, U.S. Open.
Yeah, a guy I actually added today, a guy I did like but was kind of going back and forth on, is Russell Henley. I'm sure you can find him 60-1 still, maybe 50-1, a little bit lower than that. I spoke to Russell today. Again, he was one of the guys I asked, you know, tell me something nice about the golf course. And he said, I love this golf course. And he's a guy who loves a tough test. He's finished T14 or better in the U.S. Open 3 out of the last 4 years. He said, you got to do everything well. You got to be able to hit the ball high. You got to be able to hit it straight. You got to have some imagination with the putter here. You got to be good with your short game. And that's the case for Russell Henley. Now, he has burned everybody, myself included, these first two majors. He's missed both cuts at the Masters and PGA, and people thought he was kind of ready to make that major leap, kind of pick off. You know, he's had a nice, long, successful career. Maybe he's a guy who can kind of break through. Two missed cuts this year would kind of go against that, but I like him kind of sneakily coming in to this week. And again, he said, it's a big boy golf course. I like it. Low scoring. I love Russell Henley. If you think back to Torrey Pines in 2021, when I think Rahm won around 5 under, Henley was the 36-hole leader that week. So he loves a tough test. Another guy who's been great in the U.S. Open, played well at Wingfoot. He played well at Torrey Pines, I believe, as well. That's Harris English. So I like two Georgia Bulldogs. Harris English, I believe, was 100-1 still today on FanDuel. A lot of people like him. He's gotten bet down to 60-1 in some places. But those are two guys. Again, I'm big on Bryson this week, so I'm not going too crazy with the outright card. But I have bet on Russell Henley and Harris English as well.
Great stuff. We got about 30 seconds left. I did take a flyer on Colin Morikawa at 30-1. He's down to 25-1. Does he have a chance just with his accuracy?
100%. And I'm not usually a Colin better, especially when he's down at 15-1. I love that 30-1 number for you. Like I said before, short and accurate will play this week. If Jim Furyk can finish in the top five here, Colin Morikawa can absolutely not only finish in the top five, but he can win this week.
Christopher, great stuff, man. Enjoy the action that gets underway tomorrow, and let's see how challenging this course can be, huh?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Thanks for having me, Scott.
There he is, Christopher Powers, senior writer over at Golf Digest, previewing the U.S. Open gets underway at Oakmont here tomorrow. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. My thanks to Christopher Powers from Golf Digest who joined us last segment as we broke down the U.S. Open getting underway tomorrow at Oakmont in PA. And the course is going to be challenging. From everybody that you're talking to, from everything you're seeing, hearing, watching, it is a very challenging course. The roughs are extremely thick. You got to be accurate off the tee. You got to hit the fairways because you want to avoid being in the thick stuff. And we could be in line for a traditional U.S. Open where it's going to be very difficult for these players to shoot some really low scores. So you take a look at the, you know, betting options here for the, you know, the tournament props. And we think, you know, okay, let's see, like, what the finishing score is going to be. Lowest round score. Like, some of these numbers might want to take a look at, you know, the overs on some of these numbers. Like, what will the cut number be? Right now, winning score, let's see, 278.5. The over is minus 105. The under is minus 140. Now that's interesting. If we just look at, you know, what was it? The most recent tournament. I know it's not by comparison, but, the RBC was 262 was the winning score. That's nowhere near what's going to happen here, at the U.S. Open. So do we get 262, 272, 280? I kind of would lean towards the over, if we're being honest. What was, let's see, last year's U.S. Open winning score last year was, we know that Bryson won, 274 last year. This year, and that was six under. This number's at 278. And that's it. Listen, they expect this to be a very difficult course, and I expect it to be a very difficult course. And they're talking about even par or one under winning this tournament. Yeah, that very well could be the case. So if I had to make a bet, I'd probably lean towards the over on that score. And what will the cut be? Well, I'm not going to take a guess at that. But as far as my outright winners are concerned, Bryson DeChambeau is my best bet. Right now up on DraftKings, he's at plus 750. I did take a flyer on Colin Morikawa right now on DraftKings, plus 25-1. And a little bit further down the board, I bet Joaquin Niemann at 30-1. Those are the three outrights that I have. But I like all those guys, like top 10 and top 5. And really, like, that's, to me, Bryson DeChambeau, top 5 is plus 160. Top 10 is minus 125. That might be the best bet, is just Bryson top 10, minus 125. Or take a shot at that plus 160 for the top five. Just be in contention on Sunday. That's like a very, very likely scenario with as good as he's playing and as long as he is off the tee. Even if he does miss those fairways, he's just a chip up onto the green there from that rough area. So I like Bryson, top five, plus 160. Yeah, that's a bet for me. Colin Morikawa, same thing. Top 10, plus 180 for Colin Morikawa. Love that. Get a little plus money price on the top 10? Sure. So Morikawa top 10, Bryson top 5, Bryson outright, Morikawa outright. Did take a shot, as I mentioned, on Joaquin Niemann 30-1. But those are the three outrights that I placed, and if I had to choose only one, it would be Bryson DeChambeau. I can't bet Scottie Scheffler at this price. We know how great he is. He's the world's number one, and he is having an incredible season, and he's hot right now coming into this tournament. I just cannot at this price, on a course this difficult, that's going to play this difficult, and where scores are expected to be, you know, typical U.S. Open scores, I can't bet a guy at plus 275. So we'll keep an eye on the action, obviously, as we progress throughout the weekend. Should be a fun opening round Thursday. First round leader bets. That's always fun here. Let's take a look at the first round leader bets. Let's see. First round leader, Scottie Scheffler, 12-1. Bryson, 20-1. Rory McIlroy, 22-1. John Rahm, 25-1. Xander Schauffele, Joaquin Niemann, 30-1, 35-1. Morikawa, 35-1. I could see Bryson getting off to a hot start here. 20-1, first round leader. All right. Maybe take a look at that. On a little Bryson DeChambeau bet. We'll go all in on Bryson DeChambeau bets. Meanwhile, let's take a look at what's going on your Major League Baseball scoreboard. The Giants had a 3-0 lead over the Rockies, but some sloppy play here in the infield has allowed Colorado to get some runners on and score a run here. A 3-1 lead now the Giants have over the Rockies in the bottom of the third inning. Robbie Ray, so far through 2 1/3, has allowed just one earned run on 4 hits with 2 strikeouts. Goodman just doubled, which scored a run, but then there was just an error that was made, I believe, as there was a ground ball, or maybe that's earlier they're looking at. There was, I just watched the replay. Yes, a runner, oh yes, 2 runners scored on the error. So 3-3 now is the score. There was a, let's see, oh, wow. So I guess it was a, I thought it was an error on the second baseman, because I saw a ground ball to the infield that was thrown to first, but this says, the box score says an error by first baseman Encarnacion, who it was Estrada safe at first on a fielding error by first baseman Encarnacion. Beck scored and Goodman scored. So after Goodman doubled to make it a 3-1 game, an error, I thought the ball went off the first baseman's glove. He might have thrown it away. I wasn't exactly watching the highlight. The only thing I did see on the highlight was a ground ball that should have been an easy out at first that winds up going off of the first baseman's glove. So, two errors on one play. So that's exactly what happened. So there was two errors on one play that led to two runs. So Robbie Ray giving up those runs now. 3-3 is the score, bottom of the third inning in Colorado. If you want to get you want to jump in live now on this game, you can get the Giants minus 134 on the money line. Giants minus 1.5, which is something that I still like because I still think the Giants come out here and score more off this Rockies team. We know that games in Colorado, the scoring's never over, and I believe in Robbie Ray's ability to limit the runs here. Once again, I just said what happened. Yes, the double by Goodman scored a run here off of Robbie Ray, but it was really two errors on one play that led to two more runs being scored. So now there's looks like a mound visit here. Pitching coach is going to come out. I can understand Robbie Ray being very frustrated right now, and that's probably what's happening is they're trying to calm down Robbie Ray here. So Freeman singles to lead off the inning. Beck then singles. Then Kyle Farmer strikes out. Goodman doubles to score a run. Then the two errors on one play scores two more runs. And then Doyle just walked. So one out here, bottom of the third, two runners on. Your live total, for those interested, 13.5. Now, we've only had six runs scored in this game, but it's only the third inning. Robbie Ray's on the mound. I don't expect Robbie Ray to give up more runs here, but your live total is at 13.5. Now, I find that fascinating. To me, I just think that solidifies, you know, my desire to maybe bet the Giants at minus 1.5, thinking that if Ray does get out of this little bit of a jam here, that the market believes that the Giants are going to score a ton more runs. Because if they believe there's going to be 13 runs scored in this game, we're getting six or seven more runs. And I certainly believe in Robbie Ray not allowing them, as opposed to Kyle Freeland. So give me the plus money on the Giants minus 1.5 right now. This was a price that before the game, you had to lay juice on the Giants minus 1.5. Now I'm getting plus money. It's a 3-3 game. All right, two fluke runs scored by the Rockies. Not going to scare me. So I'm going to take a shot here at the plus money price on the Giants minus the 1.5. And let's get Robbie Ray to get out of this jam. Meanwhile, bottom of the sixth inning, the Yankees with a 5-0 lead over the Royals still. Top of the seventh, the Twins are on top of the Rangers 6-2. Going to the top of the sixth, the Astros an 8-2 lead over the White Sox. It is a final in Queens as David Peterson, with his first career complete game shutout, a 5-0 Mets win over the Nationals. What a performance by David Peterson. Want to remind you guys, if you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. It's a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now, get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide, which comes out on July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Coming up next, we'll update you on what's going on in Indy. NBA Finals getting interesting. This is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back and forth we go. What a second quarter from the Indiana Pacers, as this has been a high-scoring second quarter. We got less than a minute to go in the first half. The Pacers leading the Thunder 60-58. Taking a look at the live line right now, it is Thunder minus 1.5. Total of 236.5. So we are flying over the total right now. This closed at 226.5. You are now at a live total of 236 and a half. And the Pacers with a 61-58 lead now over the Thunder. Thunder minus 1.5 on the live line with 50 seconds to go here in the first half. Tyrese Haliburton, who had those 5 points in the first quarter, and we cashed his first quarter point prop to go over. Man, we should have bet his second quarter as well. He's got 12 points already in this game. 2 of 3 from three-point range, 5 of 8 from the field. Still hasn't gotten to the free throw line, but Tyrese Haliburton's got 12 points for the Pacers right now. Benedict Mathurin off the bench, 14 points to lead the way for the Pacers. Pascal Siakam's got 13 points. He started off the game with the first 6 points of the Pacers, so he has continued to perform for them. Elsewhere, Aaron Nesmith just 2 points on one shot. That's it. One shot for Aaron Nesmith. Miles Turner's got 3 points. Nembhard's got 2 points. TJ McConnell's got 4 points off the bench. But a great performance here from Tyrese Haliburton. 12 points and 7 assists already in this game, as we got less than 30 seconds to go in the first half. And it's a 62-60 Pacers lead over the Thunder. So the second quarter goes way over the total. We're going to get to the stats coming up. As soon as this game goes to the half, we'll get you the percentages of how each team is shooting. Plus, we'll make a second half wager as well. For the Thunder, Chet Holmgren with 15 points on 4 of 7 shooting, 0 of 2 from 3-point range. Jalen Williams got 11 points on 3 of 6 shooting. He hasn't attempted a 3-pointer yet. Shea's got 12 points on 5 of 11 shooting, 0 of 1 from 3-point range. Lou Dort's got 9 points, 3 of 3 from 3-point range. Kaysen Wallace with 2 points, and Alex Caruso off the bench with 3 points. Isaiah Hartenstein with 2 points, just 1 rebound for Isaiah Hartenstein off the bench. So not great for our Hartenstein rebound prop, but just 1 rebound in 10 minutes for Isaiah Hartenstein, and 6 points for Isaiah Joe off the bench for the Thunder. We have hit the half. It is 64-60, the Pacers lead. Pacers outscored the Thunder 40-28 in that second quarter. My goodness. And this is the problem. Mark Daigneault has got to go back to a bigger lineup. He needs to make the Pacers play his game as opposed to changing the Thunder style to play the Pacers game. You know, he's going, you know, Hartenstein off the bench. He's going with the smaller lineup here. He's trying to run with the Pacers. I don't think that's how you beat this team. I think they need to muck this game up a little bit. 64-60 is where we're at. Let's take a look at the live line right now. It's Pacers minus 1.5. Total of 235.5. Here's the box score for both of these teams. Pacers shooting 55.8% from the field. Wow. 55.8%. 24 for 43 from the field for the Pacers. 5 of 13 from three-point range. So they're not exactly shooting great from three-point range, but 55.8% from the field. Meanwhile, for the Thunder, 6 of 10 from three-point range. That's 60%. Shoot more threes. 20 of 42 overall from the field. 47.6%, 14 of 17 from the free throw line for the Thunder, 11 of 13 from the free throw line for the Pacers. So clearly, we've already had 30 free throws in this game. Refs are calling this a little tight. They're blowing the whistle. It's not going to be like game number one where we only had 40 somewhat free throws. We're going to get upwards into the 60s. We're going to be into the 60s here of free throws, maybe even higher. 21 rebounds for the Thunder, just 16 for the Pacers. Turnovers, 11 for the Thunder, 7 for the Pacers, 14 fast break points for the Pacers, 8 for the Thunder. Points in the paint are even at 28 apiece. Fouls, 14 for the Pacers, 11 for the Thunder. And the largest lead, which was once 9 for the Thunder, it got up to as high as 7 for the Pacers. And that's where we are right now. 64-60. Pacers lead the Thunder. Let's take a look at the second half markets right now. But if I see that the Pacers are minus 1.5 of the game, I got to imagine that the second half is going to be lined accordingly as we pull up DraftKings here. Second half, Thunder minus 3.5, minus 120, total of 110.5, minus 120 to the over. I will say this, first half, much more higher scoring than what we had in last game number 2 and even game number 1. but something that we saw in both game number one and in game number two, higher scoring second halves. Game number one, there was, Pacers scored 66 points in the second half. Thunder scored 53 in the second half of game number one. In game number two, Pacers scored 66 points in the second half. Thunder scored 64 points in the second half. And here in game number one, much higher scoring first half. Yes, both teams are shooting extremely hot, but, I mean, we've seen Pacers have scored over 60 points in both second halves. Thunder, 53 and 60 and 64 in their two games so far. It just feels like it's going to be a high scoring second half as well, like we've seen throughout this series. So for me, it would be the over 110.5 in the second half. That's a bet that I would make. And you know something? I don't exactly hate betting on the Thunder here. Pacers at some point cool off shooting. I mean, I guess I've been saying that throughout the entirety of the playoffs when they shoot this incredibly high percentage here. But at some point, 55.8% is going to cool off. It's going to get to about 30%, you know, not 30. It's going to get to about 40-something percent. You're going to cool off a little bit. And the reason why I do like the over is because the way that I'm seeing these free throws, I think we're in for more free throws. So maybe instead of going with, you know, a side here in the second half, maybe the better bet is just to go over. As this is now, as I say that, it's now up to a 111.5. So money just keeps pushing this total to go over. And the Thunder now, let's see. We've had more movement on this spread. Let's check it out here. Second half right now. Wow. Okay. We've had a lot of movement here. Money is just pouring in right now, and it's all Oklahoma City Thunder money. Right now here at Circa, Thunder second half -6. And total 112. Elsewhere, I'm seeing Thunder -5.5, Thunder -5. Boy, real opportunity here is DraftKings is the lowest on the board. DraftKings is at 3.5. If you have access to DraftKings right now, you got to bet the Thunder -3.5 in the second half. Everywhere else is just everywhere else is much higher. You got to make this bet. Now you have an arbitrage opportunity actually. Bet the Thunder -3.5 in the second half here, and then go to a different book and take the Pacers +6.5. That's how you make money. I can't believe I'm actually like seeing this. This is legit. I'm on DraftKings right now. I'm in a state where I can't bet it, or else this is exactly what I would do. I'd bet the Thunder second half -3.5 right now. And then I'd go to another book, and I'd bet the Pacers +6.5 in the second half. Well, it's not now. It's going down. Now it's +6 in the second half. Still, that's a number I would lay. I mean, that's how you make money, right? That is an arbitrage. My goodness, I can't believe that exists. That's got to go away. That's got to go away ASAP. Keep an eye on that. Hey, if you're into futures wagering, fantasy, or you just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out xcutta.com. That's xcutta, and it's basically the future of how we play. Think of it like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting. You choose who you want to bet on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing, over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, and invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini sportsbook with your crew, and it's addictively fun. Here's the hookup. Email support at xcutta.com. Mention VSIN, and they'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. Again, that's xcutta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We'll take a little deeper look into the second half of Pacers and Thunder coming up next. Plus, some thoughts on Stanley Cup Final game number 4. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network.